You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. And I was preparing to go to the campus, drive over to the campus. But prior to that, I turned on the early part of the Mike Savage show and listened in and was stunned to hear. As a matter of fact, I said, did I hear that right? That President Trump is seriously considering compromising on immigration. Now, I said, I have to check this out. So I turned Savage off. Because, like I said, I was going out the door when I heard this. Listened on the radio here, and then once I got to the studio or the newsroom, sure enough, that's the fake news that's flying. You got to consider the sources, though, because it looks like this could be a setup. Or what happens many times, there's a trial balloon. Well, let's see what happens if we put this one in the air, and who's going to shoot at it? Well, I'm going to shoot at it. Real hard. Now, I'm waiting for what the president's going to say when he addresses Congress tonight. And apparently, he already in the speech, there's something about immigration law enforcement, which I favor. You see, I'm very much what I guess in terms of immigration would be considered a hardliner, but it's the majority of the American people. And that's something that politicians, and that includes Mr. Trump, President Trump, better be very well aware of. The American people, first and foremost, believe in the rule of law. And the law today, on the books, and it's been on the books for many, many years, is if you're in this country illegally, whether you overstayed your visa or you crossed over the U.S.-Mexican border or however, whatever route you got here, if you didn't present your papers for inspection, your passport, your visa, if a visa is required, and any other documents, medical shot records, whatever, you're subject to deportation, removal to your country of origin. And there's been poll after poll, year after year, of the American people. And there are a few conclusions. One, the American people support legal immigration, as do I, although there is a debate as to how many per year should be granted the right to come here legally. Most Americans simply are not aware that over a million people are legally allowed to come into this country each year, and that's been going on since 1990, a rather long time. The American people were not demanding that high a number. The historical average prior to 1990 was 250,000. And when you ask Americans, well, how many legal immigrants could come in, you usually get not a million or 2 million or 3 million, you get maybe 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. In other words, an order of magnitude 10 times higher is what Congress is allowing to come into the country. And there is a move, both in the Democratic Party and the rollover Republicans, to increase that million number in terms of legal immigration up to 2 million and possibly 3 million. The American people have spoken rather loudly. They are in favor of legal immigration, provided it is limited and controlled. If you listen to past shows, you know that I support a range of between 250,000 to 500,000. And that range depends on where we are in terms of the unemployment rate, the U3 rate, that's published monthly. If the U3 rate is at 3% or less, I would be in favor of a higher number, such as 500,000 maximum. However, for every percent it's above 3%, in other words, if it's 4%, it should be 450,000 or less. If it's 5%, and that's approximately where it's at today, it would be 400,000. And if it's a higher number, let's say 6%, it would be 500,000 less 150 or 350,000. So there's a sliding scale depending on what the unemployment rate is. And when we have high rates of unemployment, like we had during the Great Recession, as well as the Depression, it's 250,000. That's it. And there are people in the Senate and in the House that want to restrict the number of legal immigrants. So to summarize, the American people, and it shouldn't surprise anyone, favor legal immigration, but they differ very much on how many. And there's a broad range, but the majority, the overwhelming majority of American people, it's less than a million, folks. It's not a million, and it's certainly not 2 million or 3 million. And yes, there are people in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party that want it higher. Why? Because they want to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. And that's not, it is definitely not 11 or 12 million based on either the Pew Research Center, which has a demographer that more or less goes along with the Bureau of the U.S. Bureau of the Census, that historically have grossly understated the number of illegal aliens that are here. Others have estimated anywhere from 30 million to 60 million. I don't know the number. I'm not a demographer, but I would go to the people that patrol the border, the U.S. Border Patrol, and what they will say, that for everyone they apprehend at the border, minimum, not average, minimum, 3 get away. Where do they get away to? Largely sanctuary cities. The American people want illegal aliens, the invasion, stopped. Because historically, if you look at the numbers over a long period of time, on average, about 1 million illegal aliens are apprehended at the border. That number has been a lot higher. It's been lower. But if you truly have enforcement of the law, and we'll see the change in the numbers in the upcoming months, about 1 million will be apprehended, probably actually more with the new Trump administration. But we'll see. So you can do the math. If they're apprehending or detaining 1 million and a minimum of 3 get away, at least 3 million per year are getting into the country. And remember, that's at most 50 to 60% of the problem. You got the other 40%, could be a little less, could be a little more, that are coming into the United States legally on a visa and then overstaying their visa, and they're supposed to be deported and not come back for 10 years, typically, depending on how long over they are. The American people don't really know that it's not 11 or 12 million, because that's the number big lie media continually reports. And even people, politicians, they use that number, even though it's grossly understated. Because if the American people knew it was 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 million, they would be up in arms. They already are. The American people do not want to reward criminal behavior, and that's what we're talking about here. And they're all criminal illegal aliens. They broke into our country. That's a misdemeanor by not presenting their papers. They go out and purchase fraudulent documents, birth certificates, driver's license, so they can get a job. Employers really don't look very hard at the documents. Hire them. That's the third crime. They've committed 3 crimes. They broke into the country. They bought fraudulent documents or stolen someone's identity. That's a felony. And they work here every day. Every day is a count. They don't have the legal status to work here. So it's another felony. So, Mr. Trump, get your facts straight. They're all criminal illegal aliens. Now, Donald Trump is trying to distinguish illegal aliens, and they're all criminal illegal aliens, from the people that do crimes, such as murder, rape, assault, battery, child abuse, in other words, violent crime. The American people agree with that. No one's going to argue there. Yeah, I want them out. They shouldn't be here in the first place, but I definitely want them out. In terms of priorities, get them out. But that's at most 5%, whatever the number of illegal aliens that are here. At most 5%, probably anywhere from 1 to 2 million to maybe 3 or 4, somewhere in that range. Those are the what Trump says, President Trump says, the bad guys or the bad dudes. Yeah, they are. They're thugs. They shouldn't be here. Yeah, arrest them and send them back to their country of origin. I'm beginning to think what we should have is a plane and parachute them out if they won't take them, like Mexico. Call it American Express, one-way flight. Have parachute, will be returned to your country of origin. Now, I'm just joking here, folks, because some people take everything too seriously, especially big lie media and the lying lunatic left losers. They really don't have a sense of humor. Now, why is this getting attention? And I'm not surprised about this, because if you're a longtime listener, you know that one, I'm not a Democrat, not a Republican. I'm a classical liberal. I support a representative republic under the United States Constitution and want to downsize the federal government. You could cut it in half, and most people would not miss that half. Most people, not all people. Neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party are for limited government. They're really not for the United States Constitution or a representative republic. They're for the warfare and welfare state, intervening both domestically and abroad. And that has given us the American empire. We're policemen of the world. The height of arrogance, hubris. We're going to police the world, and we're going to support democracies, nation building. Remember when candidate George W. Bush in the debate, he was critical of the Clinton administration on nation building and then proceeded to take us to war. Yes, we were attacked, but we weren't attacked by Iraq. How did that turn out? Not well, not well. I'm not going to revisit that. But I'm not for nation building. I'm a non-interventionist, not an isolationist, a non-interventionist. I believe in the Constitution. If you want to declare war, go to Congress and declare war and see if you can get a declaration of war. Not an authorization to spend money on military force, a declaration of war. The Founding Fathers very deliberately did not give that power to the president. It's only Congress that can declare war, but they never do. Yet we've been in war after war after war. And now we're in a situation over $20 trillion in debt, anywhere from $100 trillion to $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And yes, we're going to increase the military budget by at least another $56 million. That's what I'm hearing. But the big Navy crowd, they want another $6 million. I think it's $54 million, and they want another $6 million. Now, I'm for a strong national defense. What I'm not for is a military to support an American empire. And there's a fine line between that. Oh, there's a lot of rebuilding that has to be done. But are we defending this country against the invasion of this country by illegal aliens? We're not. That's in the Constitution, by the way. It's the federal government's responsibility to protect the states and the people of the states against invasion. We've been invaded, folks. Oh, they weren't wearing uniforms, and they weren't waving a flag. But every day, including today, thousands are either overstaying their visa or crossing over the U.S.-Mexican border. And the legal term is they're illegal aliens. Also criminal illegal aliens, because they're breaking the law. And the laws are rather clear. And for new listeners to the show, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop show, if you don't catch it while I'm broadcasting it on the web, is to go to my companion blog, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, and that's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. Under my photograph, you will see links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. This is show 848. And I give you some of my show prep. That can be YouTube videos, articles, cartoons, photographs. And what I do is give you information on the news events, the stories that are breaking. And this is a breaking story. Now, I'm willing, I'm patient. I'm willing to hear what the president has to say. He's already telegraphed that he's gone soft on the children of illegal immigrants that were brought into this country. I'm sorry about this. I'm sick and tired of hearing the sob stories. Well, they were infants. They didn't know better. We can't break, you know, the line, we can't break up families. I say, it happens every day. They say, what do you mean? I didn't see that on the news. Every day, people are sentenced to prison for committing felonies. And some of them are illegal aliens. Matter of fact, quite a few are. That breaks up families. Now, the majority are American citizens. That breaks up families. There is a price that people pay when they commit crimes. And one part of that price is families are broken up. I'm talking American citizens. If you do the crime, you better be prepared to do the time. That breaks up families. The point is, if the federal government had been doing its job, all of these illegal aliens, including their children, brought here, would have been sent back then, on the spot. But the federal government simply has not been doing its job, either under President George W. Bush, a Republican, or Barack Obama. Now, for window dressing, and it is window dressing, because it depends on the instructions coming from the top, the president on down, how vigorously you enforce the law. Once you get into a sanctuary city, such as Dallas County is not the city, but Dallas County is a sanctuary county. Most are cities. They're called sanctuary jurisdictions. Cities, counties, states. And Donald Trump has said he's going to cut off the funding. Good. Do it now, Mr. President. That'll get their attention real quick. And they'll be changing their tune. The question is, will they truly be changing their tune? In other words, cooperate with Immigration's Customs Enforcement, ICE. It used to be called INS, Immigration's Naturalization Service. They're responsible for enforcing immigration law in the country, in the interior of the country. The U.S. Border Patrol gets a lot of attention, but the real problem, I mean, the biggest problem is within the United States, because even though they've dramatically increased the resources for ICE, an increase of 10,000 people, what does ICE primarily do? They collect tariffs. When you come back to the country and you got to pay a duty on the goods you're bringing in. They're revenue collectors primarily. They do also have a responsibility for enforcing immigration law. Now, if you're dealing with 30 million, 40 million, 50 million, 60 million, whatever the number is, and it's been going on for 15 to 20 years, actually longer than that. See, initially, it's like anything else. If you don't clamp down and enforce the law vigorously, it gets worse, 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 worse until you get into the mess we are in today. Now, let me make clear where I stand, and I really think the majority of the American people stand. They're for legal immigration, provided it's limited, 250,000, 500,000, in that range. Now, some people, I'm not really the hardliners, they want to stop to both legal immigration as well as no tolerance at all for any illegal immigration. I'm with them on the illegal alien invasion or illegal immigration. However, I think we should allow some. 250,000 is a lot of people, folks. Even though the population of the United States is 320 million, 250,000 year after year after year suddenly adds up to a lot of people. The American people believe in the rule of law and want the laws enforced. And that's why Donald Trump is president today, and he better keep that in mind. He made immigration front and center of his campaign. And a lot of people voted for him because of his position on immigration. Now, I didn't vote for him. I didn't have to vote for him. I'm in Texas. I knew he was going to carry Texas. I stayed home because I had an issue of trust. I couldn't trust Hillary Clinton. She's a compulsive liar. She's committed dozens of crimes, public corruption, as well as mishandling of classified documents, the destruction of government documents. As far as I'm concerned, she should be indicted, tried, and found guilty, sent to prison. And she would be found guilty. And I'm waiting for you, Mr. Trump, to make that phone call to Attorney General Sessions and instruct him to go forward and get a independent special prosecutor. And remember, I'm watching, and I'm going to report on this at least once a month, because the statute of limitations is running, and it runs out next February. So if you're going to report to Congress, you better start reporting that I've instructed my Attorney General to go forward and appoint an independent prosecutor to go after the Clinton Foundation. That's where the public corruption is, as well as Hillary Clinton and her staff for compromising national security. And she did. by having that server and having highly classified documents, top secret and above on her server. She compromised national security. Why? She was hiding her criminal activities, pay for play, and was making sure that the press, through the Freedom of Information Act, wasn't getting access to what she was doing. She's a criminal, and she's trying to cover her tracks, and so is her husband, and so is the staff that enable this. Aiding and abetting crime is a crime, and obstructing justice is a crime. Make the call, Mr. Trump. Make the call. I don't care if you invited him to your wedding and they were at your wedding. They're still criminals, and the American people are demanding justice. They're demanding a trial for those criminals. Put up or shut up. Talk is cheap. Action, Mr. Trump. Action, to quote you. Not talk, action. And until you do that, you're going to continue to hear this garbage. There's a Russian connection. People in the Trump campaign were talking to the Russians. There's absolutely no evidence of that. But the big lie media keep reporting it and reporting it. Change the subject. Go after Clinton, the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation, the people and the staff that were breaking the law. You see, what gets the American people upset, especially veterans, law enforcement, people in the intelligence community, anybody that's handled classified documents. It doesn't matter what the classification is, whether it's confidential, secret, top secret, special compartmented information, and higher. They know if they did a fraction, one incident of what Hillary Clinton has been accused of, most of them would never work for the government again. They would be fired and most likely prosecuted and maybe spend some time in jail and fined. There shouldn't be one law for the 99.9% of the American people and another law for the privileged, the upper class, the politically connected. That's tyranny. So while I'm on the subject, Mr. President, you're reporting to Congress. I think it's probably an ideal time that you report that you've instructed your attorney general to appoint an independent prosecutor to investigate former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's handling of government documents, classified documents, as well as the activities of the Clinton Foundation, giving access to donors of the Clinton Foundation at the State Department. Pay for play. You got two major categories of charges, actually three: mishandling and destruction of government documents, which are government property. That's a felony. Mishandling of classified documents, that's felonies. Over 2,000 of them and rising. And the third category is pay for play, giving access to the State Department, where people at the Clinton Foundation would call the staff, her immediate staff at the Department of State, and getting appointments. That's the quid pro quo, is the meeting. Because at the meeting, that's when they ask for whatever they want. What are they expecting for their $5, $10, $25, $30 million? Let's get back to immigration, though. That's an aside, but it just came up. The American people want immigration law enforced. What they don't want is amnesty. They don't want to give the people that broke in citizenship. That's what amnesty is, giving citizenship to people that broke into the country, because we have a legal way to immigrate into the country. And that is all right with the American people. It's all right with me. I'm fine whether it's 250,000 to 500,000. Anything above that, I have issue with, especially when there's 20 to 30 million, maybe even more, American people that are looking for a full-time permanent job. And I know the games they play with the unemployment statistics. They used to calculate the unemployment rate differently. They changed it when President Clinton was in office under Secretary of Labor Reich. They try to understate the problem. In other words, they try to sugarcoat it, just like they do it with the illegal aliens that are here. They're somewhere between 20 and 30 million. There are roughly a little under 95 million people that are not in the labor force, and of that number, probably 20%, 25% would work if they could find a full-time job. So don't be fooled with the U3 headline unemployment numbers. They're deliberately understating, because that's what politicians do. They want to put a good face on it. I bring that number up because of the 30 to 60 million illegal aliens that are here, not all of them are working. Many of them are children or the significant other, the wives or girlfriends that stay home and take care of the kids. So somewhere between 20 and 30 million, probably towards the high end, are working here, Gee whiz, there are 20 to 30 million American citizens looking for a full-time job. Oh, and by the way, probably 30 million plus illegal alien. You want to solve the unemployment problem? Enforce the law. You see, it's not just a case of stopping the invasion. It's rolling back the illegal alien invasion that's been going on for upwards of 20 years plus. At a clip of 2 to 3 million per year, you keep doing that, you're going to get a lot of illegal aliens in this country. And remember, it's not just U.S.-Mexican border. Our people flying in every day as students, businessmen, tourists, and then they say, you know, I like it here. I'm not going to go home. I'm going to overstay my visa, and I'll get some fraudulent documents, and I can work here. That's what's happening. And we don't do a very good job of tracking them down. The problem is we don't enforce the law vigorously in the United States, in the interior of the United States. So I'm not at all happy about hearing that Donald Trump has gone soft on immigration. Now, he telegraphed that by saying, well, you know, it's a hard one. All these, the dreamers. Well, before you get all teary-eyed, let me tell you what the American people are upset about. You see, we have employers, businesses, governments, the federal government, as well as state governments, that are employing these illegal aliens. Why? They're cheap. Cheap, compliant labor. If they give you any lip or want to unionize, you throw them out. You're going home, Jose. It benefits who? And that's the question you always have to ask. Follow the money. Who does it benefit? It benefits employers. And that's not just businesses. It's very much governments. It's very much schools, colleges, cities, prisons, jails. You name it, as long as you don't enforce the law, you're going to have illegal aliens working. And they're hard workers. And they're also cheaper. Cheaper than American workers. But here's the key point. What's the cost of this illegal alien invasion? First of all, welfare. Now, they're not supposed to get it, but they do. And actually, that's not the big cost. The big cost is they have children, and where do the children go? They go to schools. If you drive around Dallas and many cities, you see these temporary school buildings. Why? Because we've had the invasion has arrived in city after city. It puts pressure on the school districts, and that all costs money. Welfare costs money. The schools cost money. When they go to the emergency room of a community hospital, that costs money. And yes, enforcing the laws costs money when they commit crime. That's all a cost, and who pays for that? The American taxpayer pays for it. Send the bills to the people that are employing these illegal aliens. All I'm asking is, you're not going to stop the invasion until you go after the employers across this country and make arrests and walk them in handcuffs, the executives, the managers of these companies that employ these illegals, and put them in jail and prosecute them. You don't think that would stop the invasion pretty quick? I think it would. I haven't seen that on television at all. And don't tell me you can't find them. I'm sitting on a college campus that employs illegal aliens. Now, if you went to them and said that, no, we don't. We hire an agency or a contractor that does that. And they assured us they're all legal. Yeah, right. That's one way around the law. You see, all these jobs that's so, and this drives me nuts, and Senator McCain does this, and some of the people do this.
These are jobs that Americans won't do. These are jobs that Americans won't do.
Well, I have news for you, Senator. Americans have in the past and do today and will do in the future jobs that illegal aliens are doing. And yes, you better pay them a decent wage. You see, that's what it's all about. It's about money. It's about money and power. And I'll get to the power angle on this. It's big money, and because it's big money, what do these businesses do in their associations? Chamber of Commerce, for example. And what do the media, such as Wall Street Journal, big promoters of open borders? They're not calculating the total cost of the illegal invasion. Because if you added that to the wages that you're paying, in many respects, it wouldn't be cheaper. And that's never really talked about much. The real cost of welfare. And it's a big cost. It's we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars per year. It adds up. You have a lot of programs, and it's not just welfare, it's education, medical. Send the bill to the employers. What I want you to to do is enforce the law and go after the employers. Because if that's the way to stop it, because you'll get the question, well, how are we going to deport the 11 or 12 million? And you said it's higher. It could be 30 to 60 million. How are we going to deport all these people? First, you say very politely, you have 30 days to go home. You have 30 days to go home. Arrange your affairs, buy a plane ticket, a bus ticket, whatever, and get your you-know-what back to your country of origin. Because after 30 days, any illegal alien in the United States will be jailed and prosecuted and sent back in an expedited way, according to the law. In other words, we're going to enforce the law. And we're also going to go after any employer, any business, any government, school, college, university, city, county, agency, department, state, federal, as well as local. If we catch you employing illegal aliens, you're going to have to pay a penalty and you might go to jail depending on the evidence that we accumulate. Put everyone on notice. Mike Flynn came out before you fired him, putting Iran on notice. Well, put on notice illegal aliens and the employers. We have a new sheriff in town. We're going to enforce the law. And if you're an illegal alien that's here, go home, because in 30 days, if you're caught, and we expect the cooperation of local law enforcement, you're going to jail, and then you're going back to your country of origin. That's what it means to enforce the law. Not these, what you're seeing on the news, pictures of ICE arresting people. Big deal. Now, I'm glad you're doing it, but that's business as usual. Going after the low-hanging fruit, in other words, the criminals that are here, gee whiz, I expect you to do that. But when you're talking maybe a million, million and a half to 3 million, that should take you, what, a year? 2 years max? See, that's the point. It's going to take some time even going to what President Trump calls criminal illegal aliens. Now, as far as I'm concerned, they're all criminal illegal aliens. So I want to make very clear, where are the American people on this? They're reasonable. They believe that people, if they follow the procedures, fill out the applications, should be able to immigrate to the United States. The problem is there are millions of people that would like to come to the United States. Who wouldn't? Especially if you get your children get educated, you could get welfare, you could get your medical bills paid for. Yeah, sign me up. Especially if you're coming from some of the hell holes around the world. That's the problem. There's no way everyone that wants to come to the United States around the world can come here. There'd be hundreds of millions of people that would want to come here. That's why you have to have a limited and controlled number, and we do that properly by legal immigration, and you need to be fair to these people, because many of them wait many years to get through. It's not an easy process. But what the American people are united on and don't want to see happen is to reward criminal behavior by giving these people either citizenship or legal status or a pathway to citizenship or a touchback amnesty where you go home and then you get a visa to come back expedited. Excuse me, Mr. Trump, if you truly want to stop the invasion, you have to turn off the magnet, and the magnet are jobs. And that means going after the employers. Now, if you get wishy-washy and flip-flop, you'll be a one-term president, and Mike Pence can kiss his chances of being elected president as well, because he supported you, Mr. Trump. You were a little, I didn't trust you because of your statements on immigration. And I warn people, watch what Trump says. They all heard about the beautiful, big, huge wall with the doors in it. And I'm going to enforce immigration law. And I'm going to deport. If you're here illegally, I'm going to deport. That's what the people heard, and that's why they voted for you. And now, in less than 2 months, you're seriously considering going back on your word? Are you out of your mind? If this is a trial balloon, fire the idiot that suggested it. I don't care who it is, because you'll get a firestorm, and your telephone lines will be burning the next day. George Bush tried this garbage. So did Barack Obama. And the American people are not going to support it. No citizenship for criminal, illegal aliens, illegal aliens. No legal status. No pathway to citizenship. No touchback amnesty, where you go home and then you get a visa and then you can come in and within a couple of years you'll get citizenship. Now, I've heard this already. Well, compromise. Let's say you went that route. What do you think is going to happen? If not this year, next year, 5 years from now? The Democratic Party is going to be back wanting citizenship for all the illegal aliens. What's in it for the Democratic Party? I didn't go over the politics of this. See, the Democratic Party made a fundamental mistake. They abandoned the American worker. They abandoned Americans, American citizens, born, raised, educated here, because they saw that if they could get citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here, and they don't believe it's 11 or 12 million. They'll say that. They know it's somewhere between 30 to 60 million. They know it's a big number, and they know they'll get at least 2/3, if not 3/4, of those illegal aliens. If they get citizenship, will vote for the Democratic Party. That's what's in it for them. But what's the mistake? Americans, true Americans, born here, they said, wait a minute, you seem to be more concerned about the illegal aliens, and truly what they really don't, they don't care a tinker's damn about illegal aliens. What it's in it for them is power. It's a pathway to power and permanent power, because they know if they're able to pull this off, and they're going to continue doing this until they get voted out of office again and again and again. That's why the Democratic candidates are losing across this country. The American people have woken up to this. They've been betrayed by the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is losing its voter base. Oh, there's the true, there's always the Kool-Aid drinkers, the true believers. At its core, maybe the Democratic Party has 20-25% of the voters. They're not 10 feet tall. They would like you to think they're 10 feet tall. They're not. People are leaving both parties. It started first with the Republican Party, and now it's really starting with the Democratic Party. The American people are sick of both parties because they feel betrayed, and they have been betrayed. These politicians, Democrats and Republicans, have betrayed their oath of office to preserve and protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. And they're not enforcing the laws of the land, including immigration law. The American people are upset. They're outraged. They're really rebelling. It's kind of a slow rebellion. And I'm not talking about these paid-for protesters. As far as I'm concerned, continue doing that. Waste your money. Have big lie media cover it. And then in the next election, you'll lose again. That's why I said, let them do it. Game on. Keep doing it. No one's falling for this nonsense. But if they want to waste their money and time and have people that really don't have a clue why they're there at these town hall meetings, do it. Now, some of these rollover Republicans that, no, they get scared. You see, when someone calls them a racist or a homophobe or a nativist, that's the other line, the rollover Republicans like that. You're a nativist. Excuse me, I'm for the United States Constitution. Are you? Have you read it? Apparently not. You're supposed to enforce the laws. The president is. That includes you, Mr. Trump. That's you now. You're a politician and you're the president. You're supposed to enforce the law. I don't know who is behind Mr. Trump softening. And I'm anticipating a major flip-flop. You know, someone asked me, why are you sort of in favor of Trump? I said, well, first of all, I'm not. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, and I didn't vote for either one of them. And the reason is I don't trust either of the candidates, and they don't reflect my political philosophy. But one thing I like about Trump, one or two things are going to happen. Either he's going to destroy, and I mean destroy, the Republican Party, because he is a liberal Democrat from New York. He's a moderate at best. And his attitude, because for many years, he's very proud of it. He says it in the speeches. You know, I used to make campaign contributions to all these guys, Republicans and Democrats. And when he was in New York building real estate building, it was primarily Democrats, some Republicans. So he's the type of guy, he's one of these donor owners that are corrupting the government, buying and paying for politicians, bought and paid for politicians. In other words, President Trump is someone the Republican Party leadership can work with. We can work with this guy. They always like to say that, well, He's a type of individual that we can work together with. Of course they can. I'm beginning to think the fix is in. As a matter of fact, I thought the fix was in all along. I was very, very suspicious of President Trump. But of the people that were running on immigration, he was probably the strongest on the surface. Reality remains to be seen. Oh, he can build his wall, a barrier, two fences with a road and the high technology. That's fine. I've been for that for years. It just never gets built. And even if it was, that stops future. And I mean, probably it's going to be at least a year, maybe two, before that so-called wall is built, if it ever is, no matter what he says. And even then, you have to maintain it, and you have to patrol it, and you got to enforce the law. Oh, I hope it would stop most, not all, but most of the illegal alien invasion. But let's be candid here. The people that are smuggling these people in are also smuggling drugs. It's big business. You think a wall is going to stop the drug cartels? If you think so, you're crazy. In other words, you have to continue patrolling along that wall and stopping the people trying to break into the country, whether it's people trying to break in or drugs. It's big money. And Mexico, as far as I'm concerned, it's a failed state. The drug cartels, they play the same game that the owner donors. I'm not making a moral equivalency here, but in Mexico, the way they say, silver or lead, silver or lead. Now, what are they talking about? Well, you can have silver. In other words, you take the bribe. We'll take care of you. Or you can have lead. We'll kill you. Lead in a bullet. Which will it be? Silver or lead? Well, most people, especially when they have families and kids, give me the silver. That's what's been going on for decades in Mexico. It's a corrupt, failed state. That's why I don't visit there. I don't care how nice the beaches are, how cheap it is, because you're putting up with corruption and crime. It is a failed state. I wouldn't even visit there. And until it's cleaned up, and that would take decades, it's up to the United States government to stop the continuing invasion. But more importantly, roll back the 30 to 60 million illegal aliens that are here. And how do you pay for the wall? I've already said this. They're sending money back to Mexico and to other countries. It's not just Mexico, because they're not just from Mexico. They have a separate category, OTMs, other than Mexico. Central America, the Caribbean, some from South America, and many other countries. Either they fly here legally on a visa and overstay, or they break into the country by crossing the U.S.-Mexican border or come here by boat. However, they get here. Why do they stay here? Because once you're here, right now, what's the probability of you being deported? It's called slim and none. If you don't engage in crime, it's slim and none. And they're taking jobs away from American citizens, and they're costing American citizens hundreds of billions of dollars every year, welfare, education, medical. We're importing cheap labor. That's what we're doing with illegal aliens, importing cheap labor. And it's big business. And the reason the politicians go along with it, they get the big campaign contribution. The Democratic parties rub their hands together because they'll continue doing this and continue doing this until we get a president that enforces immigration law. You enforce immigration law, and you're going to have to enforce it for at least another 20 years. And I mean really enforce it, not just the true criminals, let's put it this way, to modify Mr. Trump's label, hardcore criminal illegal aliens. That's what Mr. Trump's talking about. They're all criminal illegal aliens, Mr. Trump. They're costing American people jobs. They're costing the American people tax revenue. They're a drain on this economy. You see, if we didn't have this situation, in other words, businesses couldn't import cheap, compliant labor, and that's exactly what's going on. You go on and on about trade. Well, we have trade. And you know what the trade is? It's importing criminal illegal aliens. Who's for that? It's not the American people. They elected you to stop it. And if you go soft on them, you'll be crucified. And I will be leading the charge, because you would have betrayed the American people like George Bush did and like Barack Obama did. And I'm no fool. Jeb Bush would have done the same thing. We have gutless wonders in these career politicians. I'm both sides of the aisle. So I'm going to be listening very close tonight to see what you're going to say on immigration. You better believe I'm going to be listening very close. You see, you have your supporters in talk radio. Now, one of them I have a lot of respect for, and that's Laura Ingraham, because she has been on this issue for many years, as have I. And we both have great respect for your Attorney General, former Senator Jeff Sessions, who was a leader in the Senate on this issue because he's concerned about the American people, the American worker, and knows the impact this has had in terms of employment, in terms of taxes, as well as crime. You better believe that Laura Ingraham, if you should flip-flop, she'll go after you, as will some of your supporters in talk radio. Michael Savage probably will. Rush Limbaugh, who has been somewhat of a fanboy on this, although he's very cute about it, he'll turn on you as well, as will Mark Levin. In other words, most of the talk show radio hosts, not all of them supported you, will turn on you so viciously that you couldn't be elected dog catcher. So you better think long and hard if you're going to compromise. Now, you see, I thought you were going to do this all along, but most likely in your second term, not in your first 60 days. I don't know who you've been talking to, whether it's Paul Ryan, wouldn't surprise me if it's not Paul Ryan, or Marco Rubio. You had him to dinner. Let me clue you what happened to Marco Rubio. You know, he thought he was going to get the nomination, be next president. He turned on his own constituency. I know he got reelected, but his name is Mudd, the Gang of Eight. He forgot who brought him to the dance. I wouldn't vote for Marco Rubio for anything. I don't trust him anymore. And that's the problem. The American people are tired of politicians saying one thing, then they get to Washington, and within a year or two, maybe three, they change their tune and betray the people that voted them in. It usually, there's a lag. There's always a lag before people wake up and say, wait a minute, I voted for him, and now look what he's for. I must have been out of my mind. And that will happen to you, Mr. Trump. If you favor a comprehensive immigration bill, you can kiss your presidency goodbye, because talk radio, there'll be a few exceptions. You better believe the conservatives, the libertarians, the ones that are consider this an important issue, and that's most of them, you will be creating enemies, and you will be losing your supporters. In other words, the cheers will stop. The booing will begin. The American people have been vocal on this issue. Just ask George W. Bush. He tried comprehensive immigration reform. Barack Obama, he was wise enough to wait till the Democrats were voted out of the House and then was trying to blame the Republicans. And we know who the weak-kneed people are, the people that are lousy on this issue, and Paul Ryan is one of them. Mitch McConnell is another one. They might have a strong base locally, but their chances of running for a national office are zero, because conservatives, libertarians, independents know what they're about. So if your head is being turned, or you're being persuaded by them, and you're going to be the compromiser, the great compromiser, you better think again, because what will descend on you, and it will be done quickly and decisively, you'll regret it as long as you live. Because when you betray the American people, the people that put you in office, there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of reckoning. So think very long and hard what you're going to say in your speech. The American people are not asking anymore. They're demanding and expecting the enforcement of all immigration law. You don't need any comprehensive bill. Don't even bring it up. Until we have totally rolled back this 30 to 60 million invasion of illegal aliens, until that is done, then we can talk about some reforms. We're decades away from that, because it's going to take a minimum of 10 and probably realistically 20 years to reverse this invasion. We thought you were the leader that was going to do that. Maybe you still are. I want to be fair here. I'm waiting to hear what you're saying, because this could be fake news. It very much could be fake news. I've heard it on CNN and other places. It's right now, I put it in the category of a rumor. You need to kill this rumor, Mr. Trump. But if you in any way indicate you want a comprehensive immigration bill, a compromise, and give citizenship to millions of illegals, you're toast. You're done. So you better be very, very careful what's in that speech in the immigration era, because a lot of people are going to be looking at it very close and listening very close as to what you say. So you have an opportunity here, but you also have, you might be walking right into a minefield. And guess what? I've warned you that it's the leadership of the Republican Party you have to worry about. Oh, they'll lead you right in and stick the knives in you. They're not your friends. They're not your supporters. And if you go along with what they want, you're committing political suicide. Let's call it what it is, because there are just too many people that you will have disappointed tremendously. All the many, if not most of the people at those rallies, many, if not most of the talk show hosts across this land, and many of the independents that really were sick of the Democrat and Republican Party and said, well, he's an outsider. Maybe he can get something done. So that is really the breaking news story. Now, there's another story, and I debated really even to do this. I call this distraction, or the legs story. There's a picture of Kellyanne Conway, counselor to the president, former Trump campaign manager, and I've been impressed with her. And I was wondering, what is all the fuss? Because, again, I listen to a lot of talk radio, and this seemed to be the topic. Kellyanne Conway was taking some pictures of President Trump in the Oval Office with presidents of traditionally black colleges. And I have a photograph, so you can go to prompkpops.wordpress.com. And if you do that, you can see the photograph, and she's taking the picture, but she has her feet up on the couch, her high heels digging into the back cushion. Her legs are spread. You got to see the picture. I had a little bit fun with it. I think people are overreacting. My only reaction is, if my mother was a neat freak, if I did that, she'd be screaming and pounding me. You don't put your feet up on the couch, Kellyanne. No manners here. I don't care if that's the best position. You don't do it. You're in the Oval Office. This is the people's Oval Office and couch. You don't put your feet up on the couch. Now, I don't think this is a federal crime, and she needs to be talked to, and she probably didn't think someone was going to take a picture of her, but listen, when you invite probably 40 or 50 black presidents of colleges, men and women, they're all surrounding the president in the Oval Office. You know, my reaction is they have an official photographer. Let him take the picture. She's snapping a picture with her phone, and you can see the heels touching the back, and she's very, how should I say this? She's somewhat of a favorite of Trump. Of course, I will say it. One of the contributors to the victory is Kellyanne Conway. She was a very good spokesman for him on the networks, and I think he appreciates it. But and this is, how should I say, this is an embarrassment, but it's getting a lot of play on talk radio. People are calling in. How dare she put her feet on the couch and spreading her legs like that? Ladies, don't do that. Well, I think Kellyanne will probably get the message. Now, someone put something up that I can identify. Used to drive me crazy. When I was growing up, and this is in the 50s and into the 60s, what my parents, my mother would do, what my grandmother would do, they put plastic on these couches. It was all plastic. I hated the plastic. Terrible. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe when Kellyanne was growing up, her mother had plastic. And why mothers did that? Because kids, will put their feet up. Sometimes they'll jump on the couch. Now, I haven't seen much plastic lately in regards to couches. Maybe they need to bring it back into the Oval Office. Kellyanne is going to make this a routine part of her other duties, taking pictures in the Oval Office. She needs to be spoken to. It's disrespectful. It's not a capital offense. It's not a firing offense. But I was amazed she didn't understand. She's an attorney, supposedly, and her husband is. She was the lady. Yes, it's that lady who gave a plug, and I think she was behind, you know, that White House symbol. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure. For Ivana Trump's perfume that and other items that she sells. That's a no-no. You're a government employee. You're not supposed to do that. It's really common sense. And there was a firestorm about it. Some said she should be fired. And in the past, some people a little bit more serious were fired. She should have known better. And now she does know better. And this is the second time. She should have known better. Kellyanne, you have to understand, you're a counselor to the President of the United States. You're on 24/7. You got to be on your good behavior. You got to be careful what you say as well as what you do. It's going to be scrutinized. Now, there's one thing I want to say because I'm looking at this picture. In the Oval Office, there is the seal of the United States. And this is the one that President Obama brought in. It used to be different. It used to be actually colored the way the seal should be. Now, they probably did this to go with the decor. I really don't like. It's a rug of a seal. And usually you shouldn't step on it. You should walk around it. But bring back the old one. Or get a new one, because I don't think it looks very good. I'm giving you my interior decorating opinion here, Mr. Trump. Ugh, I don't like it at all. I don't like the shoes on the couch, even if she was trying to get a good picture. So enough said about that, and I had a little bit fun with it. I like music videos, and I'm not really a fan of ZZ Top, but they do have these music videos, and ZZ Top had a song out called Legs, and they had an official music video on that, and it sort of goes together with Kellyanne. There seemed to be a today for some reason. Not only Kellyanne, but Laura Ingraham was on a television show, I think Fox and Friends, wearing a, not a short skirt, but a skirt that was above the knee. And I guess there's some admirers of Laura Ingraham. I like her. I listen to her show. I wish in Dallas they would change the time of the show because it conflicts with the Rush Limbaugh show. No, I don't listen to entire shows. I'm very, very busy, but I have it in the background. And sometimes I'm flipping between Laura Ingraham that has people on in the first hour she'll interview, and then I'll switch to, depends on what they're talking about. If Rush Limbaugh is talking about golf, sports, football, click, I go to Laura Ingraham. When Laura Ingraham starts talking about her children, vacation, click, I go to Rush Limbaugh. I'm what Rush calls an issues guy. Stick to the issues. I don't want to hear about football. I don't want to hear about your family. I'm glad you have a family, but that's not why I'm listening to you. But apparently she has some secret admirers that really are checking out Laura Ingraham's legs. And there's a nice, it's a 30, I think it's about a minute video. And then I have to close it out as a bookend, if you will. ZZ Top's Gimme All Your Lovin', the official musical video. So legs were a topic of discussion today on talk radio. And I'm sure tomorrow I will listen to the president's speech. You see, I originally was going to do some, let's say, pre-speech show on taxes, because I'm getting tired of hearing, well, it's going to take us time to repeal and replace Obamacare. I did that yesterday. Repeal the entire bill. Get it done. I'm tired of the excuses. If you got to change the rules, change the rules. It's ruining this country. I don't give a damn about the rules of the Senate, senators. What I care about is this Obamacare has caused a drag on this economy. That's one of the reasons, immigration's the other, that this economy has been stagnating. The American people want it repealed. And if you can't get it done, we'll find other officials to take your place. And ultimately, if you're going to sell out the American people on immigration and give them citizenship by hook or by crook, we'll definitely throw you out by forming a new political party. And the core of that political party would be independents. Let me remind you, independents today are roughly somewhere between 45% and 50% of the voters are truly independents. Now, they don't have a party. You know, President Trump likes to go on and on. I'm a movement. I'm always tempted to say a bowel movement. No, I'm a movement. We have a movement going on. Movements don't elect presidents. Parties elect presidents. You got to be organized. You got to have money. You have to have organization, message, momentum, and ambition. Mama, if you want to get elected. The American people, once that number is independence is over 50% and consistently over 50%, what's going to happen? It's only a matter of time before you will have a viable, successful third party. For now, and I've been playing with, well, what would you name it? One time I called it ACAP, the American Conservative Alliance Party. Well, there's problems calling it that, but I thought it was cute at the time. And this is 7-8 years ago. Now, the more I thought about it, and you don't want a long name. American, I like that. Party, I like that. So what should be in the middle? Independence. The American Independence Party. Because that's what America is about, independence. Not only from Great Britain, but independence from government, especially an intrusive government that we have today. You see, there is going to be another American Revolution. Hopefully, it will be peaceful. And what's going to happen is you're going to have another political party based on the United States Constitution for a representative republic, very much against an American empire and a military to go along with that to intervene. In other words, against interventionism. You know, the warmongers, the neoconservatives in Congress, one of the, what they call me is an isolationist. I'm not an isolationist. And in the 30s, when we did have isolationists, it wasn't about cutting yourself off from the world. That's not what isolationism was about. It was about war. The majority of American people were against war. Going to Europe, both in World War I and II. You'd be surprised at the polling on that prior to, for example, the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. The overwhelming majority of American people were against going to war. Stay out of it. And had we stayed out of World War I, we might not have had World War II, as well as the Cold War. But we have progressives, interventionists, both in the Democrat and the Republican Party. Theodore Roosevelt, most well-known Republican progressive, ran as a progressive. Woodrow Wilson in the Democratic Party. They were all interventionists, as was FDR. He wanted to get us in a war with Germany, but he couldn't come out for it for the simple reason if he did, he wouldn't have been voted four times into office because the American people wanted to stay out of a war in Europe. They were against war. They weren't against trade. And see, it was the big government, Republicans and Democrats, that passed Smoot-Hawley that gave us that. What did Smoot-Hawley did? It put up tariffs, U.S. tariffs. And guess what happened? Our trading partners, they retaliated. And that put us in a depression and ultimately in a war. You see, I'm for fair trade because I know there are countries that cheat. But you got to be very, very, very careful. I'm for free and fair trade. But you got to be careful because a currency war can lead to a trade war, and a trade war can lead to a recession, depression, and a real war. I want goods crossing borders, not troops. Not troops. And I don't want illegal aliens crossing borders. We shouldn't be importing 30 to 60 million illegal aliens, because that's what we've been doing. That's screwing the American public. And both Democrats and Republicans are guilty of it. And many of the so-called leaders in the Republican Party are terrible on this issue. They're for open borders. They're for increasing the legal. You see, the game they play is, oh, I'm against illegal immigration. Now, if you press them, they say, I'm for legal immigration. Well, Senator, Congressman, how many legal immigrants? Oh, 2 million? 3 million? Excuse me? Are you out of your mind? The American people aren't for that. But who is? The big corporations that want cheap labor. And both political parties want it because people are leaving both parties. So they need to increase their voter base, and that's how they're going to do it. We were the party that made you a citizen. Hallelujah. You should vote for us. Now, I think the Republicans are out of their mind. They're committing political suicide playing that game, thinking that, well, they're going to be thanked by all the illegal Mexicans and Guatemalans and Hondurans and El Salvadorians and Cubans. We'll all vote for them. Give me a break. The history is the Democrats get 2/3 to 3/4. That's their strategy. And you're going to be for increasing legal immigration? Are you really that stupid? Apparently they are. And if Trump goes along with them, join the stupid party, Mr. Trump. I never believed that Donald Trump was a Republican. He's a liberal Democrat from Manhattan. On a very good day, he's a moderate. He's strong on certain issues, but many of those issues he's been flip-flopping on. He has a history of flip-flopping, and I'm afraid he's about to do it tonight. If he does, well, maybe he is finding the job, how should I say, too much for him? So he wants to commit political suicide. Be my guest, Mr. Trump, because you will bring down the Republican Party. You'll bring down your administration. And you'll find that you can fly in and have a rally, but many of the people that were in these rallies are not going to show up anymore because they will feel they've been truly betrayed, and they would have. So I'll be listening. At least Mr. Trump knows how to draw a crowd. I honestly thought if Donald Trump was going to do this, he'd do it in his second administration, towards the end of his second administration. But maybe he doesn't want a second term. Now, he's made statements, this will be 8 years. Well, it won't be 8 years if you go squishy on immigration. And we have some history here in Texas. Governor Rick Perry, real squishy on the wall, your barrier. We know of him, and he's in your administration. If you're listening to him, be very, very careful, because there are a lot of Republicans that know about Rick Perry. And he didn't get the nomination partly because of being squishy on immigration, like Marco Rubio and others. So I'm looking at the time. I'm a little bit over. Actually, I'm a lot over. I want to thank you for listening. And tomorrow's show will be on what President Trump said in his first message to Congress, the House, and the Senate, a joint session. And it should be a very interesting speech. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.